We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Well, one guy who knows this story maybe as well as anybody is a guy who was attached to the Golden State Warriors for a long time. He was a former Warriors general manager. He was in the room when a lot of the early big moves were made with the franchise. Friend of the show, Larry Riley, joining us on Joe Low and Dibs. I'm Jim Cosimore, John Dickinson here, so is Lorenzo Neal. Larry, I trust you and the family are healthy and safe right now.
We are. I hope the best for you guys as well. And who knows what's going to happen in the future, but let's just hope as many people as possible can stay safe.
That's. We all agree with that. Thank you for that thought, Larry. Larry, let's start with the story that came out yesterday. This from Ethan Strauss, that there was a time when the Warriors were talking about trading Stephen Clay and the target was a superstar caliber player like Chris Paul. What was the thinking behind a move like that for the Warriors and their ownership group?
First off, that's false.
Is that so?
That never took place. And therefore, I think everybody learned something. When you, I have to tell my mother this because she grew up in the days of Walter Cronkite. When you see something on TV or you read it in the newspaper, it's not necessarily true. And I never had a conversation with anybody about packaging our two guards to do something else. Steph Curry came to the Warriors, and he won himself over as a Warrior for life if he wanted to be. At the second half of his rookie season, he established the fact, this is our point guard for the next 10 years. And while there was a lot of discussion about the possibilities of trading him, it was never a reality. And we never had a discussion about trading Klay Thompson and Steph Curry for anybody else. And it would be very interesting because the author of this piece, without doubt, talked to somebody who gave him some information. So it would be a little bit interesting to track that. But I can tell you right now, that never happened. Now, I suppose it might have happened after I left and there could have been a discussion with Bob Myers. But you're telling me this was 2011. And that is not the case then.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for letting that out and letting the listeners know that, because that's an unbelievable story that you just laid out. Now, did you feel called? Because as a GM and as a person close to basketball, did you feel calls about those guys? Were there was it teams that are saying, hey, is there a chance? I know you wouldn't do it, but did you feel calls about that, those two individuals at all?
Good question. That happened constantly. After I said Steph established himself in the second half of his rookie year, there were also teams that liked him in the draft, and we got a lot of calls on Steph Curry. And in fact, when we did the deal with Milwaukee, we let the conversation start with them talking about Steph Curry, knowing that we're not going to trade Steph. We were wanting to trade Monte Ellis, and we got fortunate enough that we were able to do that. But there was always a lot of conversation around Steph. We were not going to let him go, but we would let people talk to us. The same was true. There's a story that previous to the draft that we had a deal with Phoenix, that we were going to trade Steph to Phoenix. That's not true either.
How did you start those conversations, though? When people were asking, so when you, because this is exciting to us, and it's just as a listener, you want to don't miss any details. How did those conversations, if you knew that the end in mind was to trade Montel Ellis, how did you let people, so you said, okay, what was the plan? How did you let people walk you down the street, but you knew what turn to make? How does those conversations, Scott, and then when you make that, okay, here's the turn, here's the player you want, how does those conversations start out?
Well, this one with Milwaukee happened. I was up at Seattle and went to the University of Washington basketball game, and I bumped into the guys from Milwaukee. And as we were talking at halftime, they brought up, okay, we have some interest in Steph Curry. And I thought, well, okay, we'll file that one away. John Hammond was the guy that was the general manager there at that time. And he and Jeff Weltman were both there at the game. They worked together for a long time. I had searched for over 2 years to try to find some kind of a center to help our team. And so I just kind of filed that one away. And then 2 or 3 days later, they called again and inquired about Steph. And I thought, okay, maybe we can play this one out. Maybe we can get him to take Monte. If you talk to those guys, this was a poker game. I was playing the game that, okay, I have this player that you want, but I have another player that I want to give you. And it finally turned out that way. We ended up putting Epe Udo in the deal to make it balance, and then we took Steven Jackson back, and we sent Steven on to San Antonio and got a first-round pick for Steven. But there was always conversation about Steph. I never got a call from someone else inquiring about Monte Ellis. And I knew that would be a tough trade. And it was a tough trade as far as the fans were concerned, because everybody in the Warriors Nation, so to speak, saw Monte as a very good player. And he was a good player, but he wasn't a point guard. And that was the problem. So that kind of stuff is what's happened. There was also a story previous to the draft that we had a deal with Phoenix, and we had numbers of conversations with Phoenix about our pick, knowing that if Steph Curry was still on the board, we wouldn't make a deal with Phoenix.
Are those the ones with Amari Stoudemire, or was that something different?
No, that's the Amari Stoudemire deal. It is correct. And there were two negatives in that deal. Our doctors looked at his knees and said, oh, hold on here.
Right, one problem.
The second issue about that is if Curry wasn't available, we didn't like the rest of the field and who we were going to have to take at that pick. So if Steph hadn't been available, there's a possibility we would have pulled the trigger on a deal regardless. But there was a massive story in Phoenix about the fact we actually welched on the deal, and we never gave our word. We had our conversations. I talked to David Griffin sometime after that. I said, hey, what happened here? How did that story get the way it's been presented? And he said, you know, somebody in our organization talked to somebody in your organization and said, we have a deal. And I said, that's a surprise to me. at that time, Robert Rao was working as kind of a CEO of the whole Warriors organization. And he just told me, draft who you want to. And you know, that's the way the thing went down. Chris Cohan was the owner, and his approach was the same thing. If you want to draft Steph Curry, draft him. If you want to draft somebody else, draft him. If you want to trade it, trade the pick. And so I never had any directive from Chris Cohan or Robert Rowell to do anything else other than pick who we wanted and handle it how we wanted. So as you might imagine, there are numbers of people in the Phoenix area who believe they could have had Steph Curry playing for them right now. I'm not a very popular guy among some of the fans in the Phoenix area.
Larry, I'm interested. When Joe Lacob came in and bought the team, the aspect of this that I'm curious about is how much of a balance was trying to bring credibility to the franchise in terms of an established player that would come in? I know Steph Curry was already there, and we all know what he became, and you're saying that you knew at the end of the rookie year that you wanted him to be a part of that. But when Joe Lacob came in, how much of a priority or balancing act was it to bring stability of a veteran star player that could, you know, establish, hey, the Warriors are a franchise that people want to come play for?
Well, the issue was more, and you're close to what was going on there. The issue was more, let's acquire the best talent we can get. And we want to get to the point where people do want to come to the Bay Area and play. And I never heard the term, we have to go get a superstar. Now, were there discussions where we might get a superstar? Of course. Were there dreams and aspirations about acquiring someone that would fit that bill? Yes, there were, but in most instances, they were not realistic. You had a superstar somewhere else, and at that point, if you look back at our roster, what pieces did we have other than Steph to trade and acquire a superstar? And so it was more about, okay, let's build this thing. Let's build through the draft. Let's make the trades that we can make. Let's get our team up and going. And that moved more slowly than people think. The people in the Bay Area realized that it took time to build the Warriors into the championship level that they were. But the people outside the Bay Area seemed to think, okay, you snapped your fingers, and 10 seconds later you had a championship team. And it never worked that way. There was the acquisition of Bogut, for example, Andrew Bogut, to at least plug up the middle. He was not a great player, but he was a player who plugged up the middle. He could rebound. He was the right guy at the right time. And then there was the Klay Thompson draft, and then that was followed by Draymond Green, and, of course, Festus Ezeli was in that. And after that, Harrison Barnes, of course, was in that group. There were three of those guys. After that, wow. It happened. People said, I want to play in the Bay Area. I want to play for the Warriors. And that was the objective. And to the credit of everybody in the organization, that's where the Warriors ended up, right where they wanted to be.
God, this is all very fascinating as we continue with former Warriors general manager Larry Riley here on Joe Lo and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And Larry, you're a very pivotal, important person in the story of the Warriors and the ownership group with Lacob and Goober, because you were that transition guy who had to take what was there and give all that information and share it with the new ownership group and help everything transition along. So it's funny, when this story came out yesterday about a Steph and Klay trade for Chris Paul, The story was written as if the general manager, Bob Myers, did it. But you were actually the general manager in 2011. What was the structure of the room? You were general manager. I know Bob was learning the role. And I know, was Jerry West a part of that room? Was Joe Lacob and Kirk Lacob? How was the room set up in that when you guys were making maneuvers, whether it was Monte Ellis and for Andrew Bogut or whatever the discussions were, who made the phone calls and how did it all work together?
When it started out, basically it was Joe Lacob, and he brought Kirk in, and we were working together and trying to get things done and trying to move the franchise a little bit. And then shortly after that, Bob Myers was added to the staff. And it was obvious, and I knew it, that they wanted a younger person. So my job was to work with Bob, which turned out very well. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, I made the phone calls. I was the guy that was on the phone representing the Warriors. And then as things moved along, of course, Bob finally ascended to the position of general manager. And I stayed on, you know, in another capacity. Because at that point, Joe Lacob had said, you know, you have value to us. We'd like for you to help us with the draft, at least, and be involved in some of the stuff we're doing. So I did that. Now, Jerry West came on the scene probably a year after Joe took over. And Jerry, the big issue there was he lends instant credibility. Right. And that was one of the things that you touched on earlier. I always thought that was the reason that Joe Lacob wanted to bring in Jerry West. Now, I'm sure Peter Goober was involved in that thinking as well. Peter being from Los Angeles and having a little bit of a feel for how things operate. So, but Jerry was brought in as an advisor. He did not make phone calls. He did not contact people about trades. He didn't really get into any of that stuff except at the end of a trade, we would obviously be talking to Jerry, and he would throw in his two cents, whether he agreed, disagreed, or whatever. So he was a great sounding board, and it's also one of those things where Jerry didn't come to the draft workouts. I'm sure that he saw games on TV from time to time of draftable players and that kind of thing. In all honesty, Jerry was good to work with, and
right.
the whole thing fit together.
It's interesting as you say that you know, you bring in a guy, the logo, and instant credibility, like you just laid out, like you alluded to, is just, and you see with the Clippers, you bring in a guy, maybe not making all the decisions, but instantly you get, look at the two players that you end up being able to get because of the logo has a sphere of influence. Has there been any time that the Warriors looked at their roster and said, wow, we're good. There's a guy in the East that, you know, only was doing 1 year deals. Was there ever a time that the Warriors picked up the phone and see if they could bring that guy in the East that was always a thorn, LeBron James?
To my knowledge, no. But that would, if something like that happened, that would have been once Bob Myers took over. I couldn't say to you that that never happened. But I didn't, even when I was on the staff, I never heard of a phone call like that or something of that nature. So I have to limit my response. To my knowledge, no.
Larry, you laid out you know, a sequence of events and everything that happened that led to, you know, other players wanting to come and be a part of what the Warriors were building. How much credit does Stephen Curry get for that?
He doesn't get enough because it all started with Steph. And the fact that people wanted to come there and play there, they want to come there and play there because they know Steph will share the ball. Steph could be a superstar who gets 40 points all the time, and he's gotten 50 from time to time. But Klay Thompson knows if I get open, I'm going to get the ball. And the same is true with what happened when they got Kevin Durant. He came there because he knew, if I'm open, I'm going to get the ball. And Steph is the spearhead for all that stuff. We talk all the time about, in basketball, we talk all the time about great players. Steph is, he's not Michael Jordan. He's not LeBron James. However, he is the most skilled player and has a great intellect of anybody that I've ever seen play.
Wow. One, I wanted to, and this might, the timeline may be off as far as what your role was, but at your, with your time with the Warriors, at what point did Kevin Durant become a real conversation? Like, at what point was Kevin Durant, not that they were going to get him in 2016, but at what point was he on the radar for the Warriors?
I would think for the most part that the last year of his contract, everybody is aware who are the free agents that are coming in this next class. And certainly there was awareness of him. And it also became a situation where it really wasn't a far-fetched dream. Let's go back to when I was telling you that we were in the early stages of Joe Lacob and Peter Guber taking over. There were, I shouldn't say far-fetched dreams, but if you get my drift, there were thoughts about things that couldn't happen. Once they got to the point where Kevin Durant was going to become a free agent, it wasn't a far-fetched dream. It was something that, yes, this could happen. And so he was, you know, no doubt on the radar during the last year of his contract. What the odds were, nobody really knows. It did come down to, for example, let's go back this way. Some people thought that they knew all along that the Los Angeles Clippers were going to end up with a great player last summer. Kawhi Leonard, a lot of people thought, okay, that deal's been in the bag for months. Well, that wasn't the case with Kevin Durant. And I think those kinds of things, if in fact that's true about Kawhi Leonard, and I don't know that it is. It's just a thought. If, in fact, that's true, I think free agency is going to slow down a little bit. And they obviously, the NBA is doing everything they can to level the playing field about free agency. But to answer your question, I would judge, from my recollection, that during the last year they was playing in Oklahoma City, there was certainly an awareness that his contract was up and there might be a possibility there, and it wasn't a dream.
Man, we can go on for hours doing this. We love getting the background story on all these things. This is really cool. Larry, thanks for giving us all the time that you have here on a Friday. We know that, hey, you're still busy with the Hawks, right? You're still a little doing advisory work with them as well?
Yeah, that's true. I don't right now go to Atlanta because we don't travel at all. I'm living in the Phoenix area, and I used to go to Atlanta once a month and see the team play and spend some time in the office. And then if they're on a West Coast road trip, I would join the team, and I would see the top. We're going to be picking in the lottery, so I would at least see the top guys, the, possibly all of the lottery guys in college game. And then Travis and I would talk from time to time about free agency trade possibilities and that. So my title is senior advisor, and I enjoy it. I think we have a good group of people to work with. It's going to take a little more time, but I'm hoping that things will go well for the Hawks. And we have no idea when things are going to gear up again, but we're just going to be hopeful that Adam Silver and the people on top of the league can get things worked out, and we'll play whenever they say go.
Sounds good. Well, we want you to stay safe and stay healthy. Thank you for sharing all this, the great knowledge and stories that you had about a very crucial time in the Warriors franchise history. And thank you for the work that you did with the Golden State Warriors. I think a lot of fans in the Bay Area are beneficiaries of a lot of the tough early work that had to be done. But, Larry, thanks so much for joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you. You guys be safe. I wish you the best.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.